sure been faithful. See, God's got a purpose, yes, and I know He's able. I've got to see in the ground that He's blessing, no more stressing. I've got a seed in the ground. Now I'm knowing and it's showing. I see for grace, for favor. It only works when we all do it.
To see my seed.
To do what?
To reap what I have sown.
Come on, you say. For grace. For what else?
For favor.
This is my season to reap what I have sown. Everything is working together for my good. Hey, church, everything is working. Don't feel good.
Together,
but it's working
for my.
Everything is
working
together
for my good.
Sing it again. Everything is
working together
for my good. I want you to say this tonight, real simple, say.
Good morning, good morning to everyone, to our international partners, to our partners in the United States of America, to our ABM family. How many of you know that this is your season because of the seeds that you have placed in the ground? The ending of the song said it doesn't even matter what your circumstances is. How many of you know this morning that this is your season to be blessed? The word has been coming forth month after month. The apostle has been stating to us, and I'm more than sure, I'm 100% sure, that it's the Holy Spirit letting us know that there are blessings with our names on it. We just have to truly grab hold to it, believe it, and run with that. So you got to run with knowing no matter what, no matter how many circumstances, no matter how many situations, how many tears that you have cried, God is right here with us, and we know that he is an on-time God. We get in a place or in a situation where we just feel like that. We just so low, so distressed, so distraughtful that God just can't hear us. And he's not in a place where we've just done something so bad. But that's when you got to sit and just lay everything at his table. Know that God loves us unconditionally, that his love is unfailing, and that he is a forgiving God. If you can just get to that point, that mindset in your life, that God is a forgiving God, and if he forgives me, then he can forgive you. And we can't just hold on to things. We have to let it go. I promise you, if you let it go, you start getting lighter. Each thing that you let go, you start feeling lighter. So on this morning, we just want to command our morning, letting us command it and decreeing and declaring that this is our season for greatness. And in order for us to be great, we have to let go and let God. In order for us to be great, we have to put ourselves in a place where we can see God, where he has revealed himself to us, and we know exactly who he is in our lives, and we know who we are in our lives. Let's go into prayer this morning. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you this morning with a thankful heart, Father God, but our heart, we come also, Lord, with reverence, Father God, fear, Lord Jesus, humility, Lord Jesus, knowing, Father God, that you're accepting us and you are examining our hearts on this morning, Father God. And Lord, we just want to tell you this morning, simply that we love you, Father God. We love you, Lord, and we need you in every area of our life, Father God. Without you, Father God, we're nothing, Lord. And we need you, Father God. We ask you, Lord Jesus. We petition you, Father God, to walk with us, to talk with us, Father God, to abide in us at all times, Lord Jesus. We come to you, Father God, decreeing and declaring, Father God, that we shall prosper, Father God. We shall be successful in our endeavors, Father God. We shall, Father God, do all the things that you have already predestined for us, Father God. We shall, Father God, reach our hands out, Father God, and pour every blessing that you have for us with our names with our names, Father God, into our lives, Father God. But most of all, Father God, we will be mindful, Lord Jesus, so that we are walking on holy ground, Father God. When we enter into your presence, Lord Jesus, when we enter into your presence, Lord Jesus, we walk into our position change, the way we walk change, the way we talk change, Father God, because we enter into holy ground, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that constantly, constantly reminds us of where we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to be, and what we're supposed to be doing, Father. So on this morning, Lord Jesus, as we go into the word, Father God, we just ask your Holy Spirit, Father God, to consume each and every last one of us, Father God. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, for this is a blessing in itself, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, for just giving us the words to say, allowing them, Father God, to be acceptable to you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, Father God, we pray, amen, amen, amen. And I'm not going to be too long. I'm just going to come in just a little bit and let you all know the scripture that the Holy Spirit placed on hearts, and that is Psalms 34:9, and it's taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. And I just want to mention a little bit about that psalm. In that psalm, it's saying taste and see. And the way we taste and see how good God is and can receive his joy, we have to have a personal relationship. And prior to entering into that personal relationship, to get to that personal relationship, you have to show an act of obedience. You have to be obedient to God, to God's will, not this evangelist elect will, but God will. And the things that come after that, that act of obedience, the things that's added to that is because of that personal relationship that you have chosen with God. And I know a lot of us, because myself, my relationship stood at a standstill because at one time I felt like I wasn't worthy of to be a part in God's kingdom or to do the things that he had told me years ago that I would do because of my acts of obedience. And when you get to that point, you have to ask yourself, do you really fear God? Are you really fearing God? Because once we start fearing God, God will sit, your mindset will change. The things that you do, and we've said it over and over and over. The problem is that I can tell you 100 million times, but the question is, are you receiving it? Do you have enough reverential fear for God in order for you to taste and see who he is? Because I can tell each and every last one of you, he is real. God is real. I know that there is, you can have an experience, or someone has had experiences where they have been in their darkest hour and God has revealed himself to you, and you received what he revealed to you. You are at a point where you said, okay, God, I'm going to listen. I'm going to turn this thing around because I want to taste and see what you have for me. I want that joy in my life that you have for me. I want to be a part of you. And in order for you to have a life fulfilled with joy, peace, the fruits of the Spirit, you have to be able to taste and see of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm getting ready to turn the mic over. I'm not sure if Apostle Temple is on. I'm praying that he is, because I know he can add something into our discussion this morning as we break the bread of life. It's just such a wonderful thing to, you know, to be on here. It's a joy. It's a joy. Turning it over to you, Minister Monica.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. God bless you all, sisters and brothers in Christ. Wake up, saints, because I'm just so blessed and pleased to be able to bring this word to you today, because God has really blessed me with this scripture, because it reminds me of where I met him in my own personal experience. The scripture is Psalm 34:8, and it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." And I can tell you right now, there's a time when every one of us is going to have a moment with God. And when my moment came with God, I was in a broken and contrite, dark, dark place. And I cried and I cried and I cried out to God, because I had just really began to live for Christ. I had given myself to Christ, but things weren't where they needed to be in my life. And God showed himself to me, y'all. And as he showed himself to me, I was being led to do things in his will and not my will. The Lord was good. And you know what? Ever since then, I can't get that taste out of my mouth. And I just can't wait for everyone else to taste it. If you ain't tasted it yet, it's coming, because God makes that promise that he will reveal himself to you if you just take the time to just give him your heart. And see, a broken and contrite heart was the key for me, because I had been living for self for so long. I had been doing the things that I wanted to do in life, and I never pursued the things that God created me to do. I never had the revelation of who God really was until I hit that rock bottom. And as God began to reveal this thing to me in the scripture, when I meditated on it, he woke me up early this morning, and he reminded me of the story of Hagar. He reminded me of an example in the Bible to share with you all, to bring this thing to life, to make you have an understanding on what it was like for Hagar in her darkest moment. And if you go to Genesis 16, it tells about the story of Hagar. Hagar was the maidservant of Abraham and Sarah. And this maidservant was somebody that had been in the household for many years. And because Sarah and Abraham had never had any children, at the age of 80-some years old, Hagar, by the time Abraham was 80-some years old, Sarah had to be 70-some years old. Well, they had no children, and they really wanted to do something to make an heir in their household. So Sarah, being unbelieving and not thinking that she would ever have a child because she was barren, she told Abraham to go to her maidservant and to bear a child so that they would at least have a child by him and his bloodline. Well, this maidservant, her name was Hagar. She did become pregnant, and when she became pregnant, she began to despise Sarah. She began to look at Sarah in a different way and have a different attitude because she realized that she was pregnant and that she had done something that Sarah couldn't do for her husband. Well, the story goes on, and it says that Sarah was aggravated with Hagar and that she recognized the disrespect and the despise, and she went to Abraham and said, "You caused this trouble. Now she despises me." And so Abraham said, "Well, whatever you do with her is going to be okay. It's up to you what should be done." So Sarah starts mistreating Hagar, and Hagar is so aggravated. She's so broken. She's so contrite. She's so miserable that she just runs away from the household. Now, we're talking about a wealthy household of servants and everything being taken care of under the lordship of Abraham and Sarah. Well, she ran away from all of this, pregnant in her belly and everything. And when she ran away, she ended up by a spring in the desert. And by the spring in the desert, she was there crying and just in her darkest moment, realizing that she was pregnant, alone and afraid. But guess what? God saw her. He heard her crying. And when he heard her crying, he sent an angel to her. And this angel appeared to her. And in the 16th chapter, around the 7th or the 8th verse, it talks about how the angel asked her, what was she doing there? And she said that I'm running away from my mistress Sarah. And the Lord and the angel of the Lord told her, he said, you're pregnant. You should go back to her. You should go back there. And when she heard the angel talk to her, the angel began to tell her the things that the Lord had said for her. The angel had told Hagar, go back there with that child. Go back there and have that baby. And that baby was going to have descendants come through it of many, many nations. And that promise was that if she went back there and those many, many, many nations would come through her child, that there would be a blessing there in that. And when she heard this, she began to, like, realize that she had been answered by God, her cry, her misery. And I'm just going to briefly read the point of how it came down to where she realized where she was and what was happening to her. And it says, then the angel told her to go back to her mistress and submit to her. And the angel said, you will increase your descendants. You will so increase your descendants, and they will be too numerous to count. And so it drops down to she gave the Lord the name who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For, she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. And that was her moment. All of this has been read and said to say this, people. In her broken, darkest moment, in her revelation of how messed up things were around her, pregnant, alone in a desert, no civilization, no refuge, nothing whatsoever, God heard her cry. And when he heard her cry, his revelation to her that he heard her cry was enough for her to be obedient. She was obedient, and she got herself up And she went back to that house and she had that baby. And she named that baby Ishmael. And at the end of the day, we can see at that example how she was obedient when she realized that the one true living God recognized her, had compassion upon her situation in her darkest moment. And she tasted and seen that the Lord was good because she trusted him. That's what that scripture is about, y'all. And I know that every single one of us, if you haven't tasted that the Lord is good, you need to. But the ones that can relate to this understand what it means. That's why I'm so grateful. I'm so honored to be on this line with y'all today, to be able to tell y'all that when I tasted and seen that, my heart changed and there was a hope there. There was a hope that gave me a knowing that my salvation lied with my Father in his kingdom. And no matter what I face on this earth, no matter what trial and tribulation comes my way, if I just trust in him and be obedient to his voice, no matter how strong and aggravated the world becomes against me, no matter how strong and mean the world becomes and my trials and tribulations beats me down, I continually rise. I continually get back up, and I continually thank God for giving me that hope because it built my faith, and that faith was in him because I trusted him. And how did I trust him? I spent time in his presence. And for any one of you out there that has not had the time to see that the Lord tastes good, I just challenge you to just give God a try. Be obedient when you hear his and see his word. And you can do it. You can do it. You just have to open your heart up. And there are some people that need to be a broken and contrite place because they get in their own way when it's time for God to minister to them. They have a mindset or an ego that blocks them from hearing or doing what God wants them to do. They keep doing it man's way. But see, when you let the Holy Spirit come in and it moves you into another place, a place above the place you're in, you have nowhere to go but up. You will no longer be broken. See, sometimes when those broken bones are in a disarray, have that lint to put in place and wrap it up so it mends correctly, you'll never be able to stand upright. You'll be crippled, and it will be a deformity there. But see, when the master healer comes in, when he puts his hands on it and he wraps that thing up, and he sets that bone back in place, you are allowing him to give you a perfect healing. And then that alignment, that bone being set, will heal the men, and God will have you on the straight and narrow path. He will have you lined up. If God does these things in our lives, we have to have an open mind. We have to have an open heart. But that broken and contrite heart sometimes is the one thing that allows us to hear him, because the hustle and bustle of the world is so loud, and we think that we got it going on because we have excellent careers, or our home life is good, or our finances is on point, or all those things come together and you're still not happy. You're still miserable. Well, I was there. I was there to the point where I had money to actually take a plane to go shopping. There were things that were always lined up for me, but there was something missing. And in my darkest, in my lowest point, in my moments of despair, God revealed himself to me. I began to know that I wasn't crazy. I understood that this was my moment. When is your moment with God gonna happen? Where are you going to be when God gets to reveal himself to you? And if you don't know, then it's coming. I'm promising you, I'm telling you, it's coming, because there's no way possible that you can be in God's presence and he not reveal himself to you. If you continually seek God and just go after what he has for you, he will reveal himself to you, and that's where the change begins. And if your life is the same and you're content where you're at, there's no room for that. So open your hearts and minds. And sometimes when you hit rock bottom, that is not just the worst of everything. It's an opportunity. Don't look at it as the end, because some people want to lay down and just die. But God says, no, come to me. Come to me. Now I'm going to turn it back over to my sister, and I hope the apostle can just enlighten us even more on this thing. But at the end of the day, remember, brokenness is not a weakness that is a bad thing or is frowned upon in God's eyes. It's an opportunity for God to show you who he is and what he is about, because he loves you. Back over to you, sister.
Amen. And I can truly attest to that what Minister-elect Monica is talking about with that brokenness. And one thing Apostle Temple has always taught us is that we all have our own, when you have your own experience with God, then you're able to tell your own experience. What did God say to you? And I can truly sit and say, and I've said it so many times, in my deepest, my darkest moment, ended up being the work, the best time of my life. The Bible, the Psalms 23 came alive to me, and I did not have to worry about anything. But that personal relationship, learning who God was, seeing who God was, being able to taste, looking through his eyes, just seeing everything in a beautiful state and not in a negative state. What man thought was for evil, God turned it into good, because my relationship with him, I did not know God. I thought that I knew God, but see, I knew God from other people. But when you sit and you go through something and you're at your lowest and your darkest moment, and you allow God, you invite him, you accept that, you walk into what he has for you by studying his word, talking to him, praying and fasting, and I mean just being so in tune, consumed with God, that you cannot come out being the same, no matter what your circumstances is, no matter how deep it is, how far it goes, how high it is. We just know that God is there. And we, as a people, in our carnal minds, we sit and we allow things to overcome our mindset. When we have an experience with God, that's exactly what it is. When Moses saw God in the burning bush, that was an experience. That was an experience for him. When he was in that cleft and God, he saw the backside, that was an experience. That's something that he could speak on by himself. When you in a place, when you know that only God can take you to the next level, or he's the one that can pull you out, then you have an experience. You have an experience with God. The problem is, I want to ask you today, when you have this encounter with God, do you sit and just have that brief moment, or do you sit and say, Father, I'm tasting you, I see you, and I want what you have, so let's not let it stop right now. Do you join hands? Do you join forces with him and sit and say, I will follow you all the days of my life? Do you sit and say that I know, Father, that you would take care of me? Do you realize that you have found a friend in Jesus and you continue to go on with the process? Or are you in a place to say, oh, that was just for that moment and I'm just going to let it go? And see, we sometimes do that. Because I can attest, that's what I did. All the everything that God poured into me for 3 years, and I used to think where I was at was the wilderness. When I walked out into the wilderness, I came back into a place of normal. Went right back in to doing things or being around people that God had protected me from. So therefore, I was Israelites. I had to walk around the mountain again, and I kept walking around that mountain because you know what? I didn't make sound judgment. I didn't move the experience that God had given me, and I let it go. I didn't respect it, and I let it go. So that made me, when I cried out to him, that made me have to go back through something again. Remember yesterday, Apostle said you can have blessings and you sow the wrong thing and you end up getting bitterness. You end up, and see, we put our own selves in those situations. I could just be honest with you. You put your own selves in those situations. God will sit and put you where you need to be. He will sit and mold you and build you and pour into you. But then you're not ready when you sit and you take that left turn. So when you take that left turn, you're opening back up doors that God has already shut for you. And now more is coming in to your situations, to different things that you have going on. And when that happened to me, I had to come back. When God, even through my left turn, even though it may have taken more years, even though sickness to the point I was laying on my deathbed came into play, again, I cried out to the Lord. I let him know I'm broken. I'm ready this time. And even when he rose me back up, when he resurrected me and put me in a place, he put me in a place where people who had tasted God and had seen God had to see something in the best in me. They had to see something in me because God allowed them to use me. See, and with that, I make mistakes. But the beauty of it is I recognize or I'm in a place to receive so I can correct it where I don't have to go back, because I can truly sit and say that I have tasted and I've seen God and I know how he's joyful. How do you know? Because I'm prospering in my life. I'm prospering mentally. I'm prospering physically. I'm prospering financially. I'm prospering spiritually. And this is what God wants us to do. This is how God will fulfill our every need when we in a place where we can recognize who he is once he reveals himself. We recognize it, and then we go with it. So you can receive. We are in a place of atonement. We are in a place where we're fasting, we're praying, we're cleaning self. We're doing a self-examination, the man in the mirror. So this is where we, right now, today, recognize where God is in your life. Let him reveal himself to you if he has not already revealed himself to you. And don't let him go. Do not let God go. I don't care who it is. Husband, children, mama, hold on to God, because at the end of the day, we are nothing without him. At the end of the day, other things will pass, but I'm here to tell you, no matter how bad things are for you, God is not going to leave you nor forsake you. You just have to keep in your mind that you can't leave him and forsake him. It cannot be a twisted situation. And we too easily get into situations, a bind, a certain situation, and then we sit and we want to go back to our old. We want to go back to our old carnal, sinful ways. You know, and instead of sitting and trusting God, instead of sitting and remembering that the experience or the encounter or what you had tasted and seen in him before, we'll sit and say, oh, I don't have time for this. I got to do this. And then you start it all over again. You're asking for encounter, not knowing what that encounter may be, not knowing what it may be. You're asking, why not stay where you're at right now? Why not recognize once you look in the mirror and self-identify the different things that you have going on? Receive a new identity in Christ and walk with your new identity, with your head, and have no shame in your game. But just realize that I have had an encounter. So when you're talking to people and when you're telling them about your encounter, you letting them know that there's a man that would give you bread, give you water, living waters where you won't thirst no more, like the Samaritan woman, you know, the woman at the well, she knew that, you know. So at the end of the day, when I sit and say that God is able and he will do exceedingly and abundantly, we just have to put ourselves in that place. Let the thinking go. Receive what God has for you. He offers you love. He offers you peace. He offers you joy. He offers you happiness. He offers you prosperity. He offers you things that will make you succeed in your life, where you don't have to stay in the same place. You are able to walk into a new beginning. Let's walk into these new beginnings. Let's not let this new beginning that you are being informed of now. You may be just introduced about it, but sit and get into a place where you can soar with God, because that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to soar like an eagle. He wants us to recognize who he is. He wants us how good he is. Turning it back over to you, Monica.
Yes, and see, there's a lot of situations where God can reveal himself to you. And if you don't have that desperation and that broken, contrite heart, and you just got to the point where you just have a longing, where you just want God to reveal himself anyway, and you just got that meekness about you, and you want none other than God's will in your life and no longer your will, you can understand how you can just be in a place where things ain't going right, but God can still show up the way he showed up for Paul and Silas. See, Paul and Silas' story is in Acts. In Acts, the 16th chapter, it talks about how Paul and Silas were out and about, and a soothsayer, a little girl that was able to do all kinds of fortune telling and stuff, was walking and telling people that they were the men of God and that they were supposed to be having all of these great glorious powers that the Holy Spirit had anointed them with, and they didn't even want her to be that way. And so they called out that spirit that was in her, and the men that owned her were angry, and they caused the mob and had them thrown in prison, had thrown them in jail, because they had delivered the girl from the demon that gave her the power to be a soothsayer, a fortune teller. So as they go into this jail prison, they are there at midnight. And instead of them being aggravated and thrown into the pits of this prison with despair, they had already tasted that the Lord was good. And here where I'm coming from, by Paul and Silas already tasting that the Lord is good, they trusted in him. So guess what? In their dark hour, in that prison moment, they began to sing and praise the Lord. I tell you, they sang and praised the Lord so much, the other prisoners in the jailhouse that night, they joined in at that midnight hour. He kept up everybody in that jail block. And when they got to the point where they praised and worshiped the Lord and sang to the Lord so much, the whole prison earthquake, it shook. It shook so bad that the chains and things that were on their feet and the doors flew open in the prison. When I tell you the doors flew open, it was a miraculous event. But it was all because of the praise and the glory and the worshiping Paul and Silas brought forth, and it got so strong, and the Holy Spirit was so empowered, they were so great that they actually went in and they saw that they had the power of God with them when the doors flew open. And when the doors flew open, guess what? They were able to walk free. But before they walked free, a soldier woke up that was supposed to have been on guard, seen the doors open. He was about to kill himself. He was about to kill himself on his own sword because he knew he had messed up and fell asleep, and the doors was open and everybody was gone, but they hadn't left. Paul and Silas seen what he was about to do, and they stopped and they said, "Don't take your own life now. Don't take your own life, because it's not for you to take your life." And the prison guard was like so amazed, and he realized that the Lord had to be with Paul and Silas, and that they were wrongfully there in that prison that night. And when he saw this, he knew that they had to serve a mighty God. And he said, "How can I be saved? How can I be saved?" And that's when he took them home and let his family and his house be saved because of what he had witnessed in Paul and Silas. So therefore, even if you don't have a broken and contrite heart, even if God ain't got to get you out of the place where you are so down low that you can't even see any hope for any future, you can still be the type of person that can taste that the Lord is good. And when something happens and you're thrown into a prison or a bad situation, you can praise the Lord in the midst of that. You can give God glory, and you can sing to your heart's content and know that you have trusted in God and watch the doors fly open for you. That is how our God works. That is the God we serve. Good and trust in him, the promises, the obedience of what happens afterwards moves us into the greatness of the great I am. I'm turning it back over to you, sister.
Amen. That the key is that obedience. We know that Paul and Silas, all of those disciples had and went through some things just as we go through things as well. Just as we sit and we call on the name of Jesus, it's just getting to the point of knowing who you are, where your place is with God. And then only way you're going to know that is that you got to start studying more. You got to start praising more, worshiping more. You have to get to the point where you and your household, if it's just you, that you studying on the word day and night, you fasting, you praying, you are just trusting and believing God. When a circumstance or a situation comes up, you giving it to God. You not on that phone calling everybody and telling them this. You going to the man with the master plan first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the beauty of that Paul and Silas story of them being in prison, they was not moved. They were not moved about that situation. They wasn't in there crying and saying, the scriptures say they was praising God. They praised their way out of that. So I sit and say to you, in your deepest hour, in your time of distress, even in your happy hour time, put a praise on that thing. Put a praise on whatever that circumstances or that situation is. Put a praise on your good news, of your happy news, your joyful news and whatnot. Put a praise on it. Because God loves it so much that he loves when we praise him. He loves when we give him our praises. He loves it. And I love giving him praises. I love the fact that he gives me the opportunity. Sometimes my sons look at me so crazy because God will give me an opportunity or tell me something. I get some good news, or somebody else will get some good news. I got to pull over and give him some praises. Sometimes I got to run around some things. I may not have enough breath in my body when I come back up, but I sit and tell you, God is the one that give me that fresh wind once I get finished praising him, because it's nothing better. It's nothing better being in a place with God. I know it's not an easy thing for some people it's not easily taken. It's not something that you can easily, hold on to, grab onto it. But I sit and charge you today, when you are in a place, whether it's a dark place, whether it's a place that you feel like that you can't get up, try God and see that he is able. He is able to bring you out of whatever the circumstance or situation. See, we too easily abort what God gives to us, or we don't allow it to grow or manifest or get to the ending stage before we sit it and we give up. We got to learn to persevere and endure to the end. And when you in your times of weakness, pray and ask God to give you strength, because it's his strength which is going to take us to the next level. When you in a place where you have confusion, ask God to give you understanding so you don't abort the mission or abort what it is that he has growing inside of you. We're going back. Hagar could have just walked away and not go back. But when the angel said turn around, her obedience took her into a place where Lord, we sit and we charge you on today. Open your eyes. If you got to close your ear gate, close your ear gate. See what God has for you. Keep everything out of your ear, but see where God is trying to take you. See what God has done for you. Because just by you waking up this morning, he has done something for you. Taste and see what God has for you. Because trust and believe is not for you to be in a place. God wants us to have great things. Jeremiah 29:11 lets us know that God wants us to have great things in our expected end. Don't abort. Do not abort what God has for you. If you feel that you are on shaky ground, ask God, put me on solid ground, Lord. I have to do it all the time. God, help me, because what am I doing wrong? Show me what I'm doing wrong, Father, because I want to get it right this time. I'm tired of disrespecting you. Did you hear what I said? I'm tired of disrespecting God. I'm tired of being disobedient to you, Father. And that's where all of us have to be at this point in time. So as we come back on tonight at 12 o'clock to learn more about the atonement, this time that we're the new beginning, the new calendar, the new year, and the blessings, the seven blessings that God has for us. Come back out with us. Tell somebody else about it, because God is in a place now where he is educating. He is educating a people that he is going to use to rise, that's going to rise up and not be ashamed or not be afraid to speak the true unadulterated word of God and not worry about who's going to say this and not worry about who's going to come up and challenge you. And you're not worrying about the challenge because you're into the word of God. You're into God. God is abiding in you. His Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. He will put the words that's in your mouth so he can be glorified. So I sit and I ask you all to go and tell, share the good news of God. Share with God the movement that God has right now. Share that movement. Let everybody know. Let the phone lines flood tonight so we can all meet God. On the line tonight, meet the Holy Spirit. Meet the Holy Spirit so you will be able to tell somebody else, and keep letting the movement grow on. So tonight, we ask you to come back out with us in the morning, 12 a.m. Again, you have to get on the lines early, but 12 a.m., we will be there in the presence of the Lord. You're able to taste and see his goodness. You're able to walk around with joy in your spirit, in your heart. And this is what ADM is about. This is what we promote love. We promote sharing. We promote education, taking you out of those old traditional ways that you may have received the wrong information. God is doing a new thing. He said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. In order for your knees to bow and your tongue to confess, you have to know the truth. So do not let this time, this moment pass you by. We will see you on the line tonight, 12 a.m. Be there. Receive the words that God has for you. I say again, receive the words that God has for you. Take those words. Grab hold on to them and do not let them go. We love you. We pray that you have a glorious day in the Lord. Take this time, ask God to reveal himself to you. And when he do, I say to you, you will have that extra read all about it moment. You will have that moment where you want everybody to know what God has done and what he has gone on for you on this date and time. This in 2020, going into 2021, God is with us, people. God is truly with us. So with that being said, we love you. Have a beautiful day. May God bless.
Now